Then what is your step?
I received a job offer from Continental Oil Company to go to work for them in the field. I accepted their offer. My first job was to go to Ponca City. I went to Ponca City and worked out in the field, being a roustabout, as they called it, where you would do everything in connection with the well. You would clean up well sites. You would actually pull rods from the well when they had pumping jacks on them. I even, at one time in the summer before I went to the Continental, worked down in the Glen Pool, which is south of Jinx, and I pumped on a central power unit where they used to have one engine that would pump 7, 8, or 10 wells at a time. You had to hook the wells on one at a time. It would connect to this big band wheel, which would work these pull rods. I don't think people can even imagine today what that was like. But it was very interesting to get a chance to work on those kind of wells.
So did you say to yourself ever, I went to college to be a tool pusher?
Well, everybody that I worked with down there kept encouraging me, said, boy, you finished school. Don't do like us and have to come out here and work. It was hard, hard work. And it was, you know, 100-degree weather, and we were working out in the wide open spaces with no shelter at all.
But as an engineer, you needed to go into the field to
learn that. Yeah, you needed
to go that.
Into the field to learn that and learn the basics, because ultimately you'd be spending time in an office figuring out how to drill and complete wells and how to get better recovery from the wells that you had already existing.
You were married in here? So?
I was married. I married in my junior year of college, and my wife worked for an oil company here in town. She worked as a secretary to the head of the geophysical department.
Did you have children from that marriage?
I have children from that marriage. We didn't have children. We later adopted them, much later after law school.
Okay, law school. You're being a tool pusher, and how do you go to law school?
Well, 6 months into my training program with Continental, I was called up into the service. I had been in ROTC all during college. I received a commission as a second lieutenant in the Air National Guard. I should have received it into the Air Force, but during my senior year, Congress changed the rules, and instead of getting a direct commission into the Air Force, we got a commission into the Air National Guard, and I was supposed to serve 3 years. My first assignment was to Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson, Arizona. My wife and I drove into Tucson. It was 113 degrees. But as they say, it's a dry heat.
Yeah.
Had, I think, something like $18 in my pocket, and didn't have to report for like 3 or 4 days. We had to make do on that money until we reported and got our first pay. Davis-Monthan was a strategic air command base. As such, it had two wings of B-47s and one wing of KC-135s, which were tankers that would do in-flight refilling for the wings of B-47s. When I first went into Davis-Monthan, I went through a process where they would decide where to assign you. Being a petroleum engineer, I thought I would probably be assigned to some engineering function. That didn't happen. I was assigned to what is called personnel services, and the subspecialty was called special services. I was given the responsibility for running all of the recreation facilities on the base. I had the base gymnasium, I had a library, I had a movie theater, I had an airman's service club, I had a special services supply which had hunting gear, fishing equipment, I had a wood hobby shop which had every type of woodworking machinery possible. You could build furniture or almost anything in the wood hobby shop. I had a model airplane hobby shop and ultimately had riding stables, even had a golf driving range, all under my responsibility and supervision. The main thing that I attribute to my time in service is learning how to manage people. For each of these sections had wonderful staff of master sergeants and staff sergeants to run these operations. I learned how to manage people and get the most out of them, and of course, they did all the work, and I simply saw to it that everything ran the way it should and that they had the equipment necessary to accomplish their job.
So as you went on into life and what you have done, which we'll get to, you would often draw on that experience.
I went into the Air Force not expecting the level of capacity that the officers and the airmen had. I didn't know what to expect, but I came out with a huge amount of respect for what they did and how they did it. It was a well-run organization, and of course, the Strategic Air Command was being run by Curtis LeMay. He was a tough, tough leader, and he expected nothing but the best out of his people, and he got it. It was really encouraging to see that our military was in the kind of hands that it is.
Did you ever see him in person, Curtis LeMay?
I never did. We had a base commander by the name of Jim Edmondson, who was a very young, good-looking man. He was movie star quality. I really had a huge respect for him. And in later life, I would run into him in Florida, where he was mayor of this little community that I moved to called Longboat Key. I was in a Rotary Club with Jim Edmondson, and I never lost the respect that I had for him. He was just a tremendous individual. One of my experiences that I had in the Air Force is the base commander was one command under General Edmondson, who commanded the base. The base commander was the 803rd Air Base Group. A fellow named Colonel Wimberly headed the base, and he asked me to organize a drum and bugle corps. Of course, I had no musical talents whatsoever, so I went to the University of Arizona in Tucson and hired a music teacher and put out the word on the base for people to volunteer to join the drum and bugle corps. The attractiveness of it was that they would get to wear a special uniform with white spats and epaulets and a white helmet and play in the drum and bugle corps. So we recruited probably 20 or 25 people to play the drums and learn how to play the bugle. This guy taught them, and I taught them drill, so that we could march in close order drill. I learned that the reason for the Drum and Bugle Corps is that the base commander, General Edmondson, had been invited for Memorial Day to be the lead of the parade in town, and he wanted us to march in the parade, so we got them up and ready to march, and they learned a couple of drum cadences and one bugle cadence. I even had a drum major trained, and the day before the parade, he was transferred to another base, and I ended up having to be the drum major and lead the drum and bugle corps in this parade.
You were in the Air Force for how long?
I was in for 2 years. Congress saw the error of their ways in drafting us into Air National Guard for a 3-year tour, and they amended the act, so we became part of the Air Force Regular Reserves. And the time was shortened from 3 years to 2 years.